It is time again for the Warren County Radio Bible School, and you'll want to get your Bibles and turn to John chapter 14. We're studying a Sunday school lesson that was written for the Sunday schools of January 25th, 1925, by E.A. Elam, on Jesus Comforts His Disciples. And so we're going to be studying John chapter 14. In just a moment. Before we do, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have a Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now, Jesus comforts his disciples. John 14. Here's some helps and hints for the teacher. This lesson, the rest of John 14, and chapters 15 and 16 contain the most interesting and profoundly important conversation Jesus had with his apostles after instituting the Lord's Supper and before his prayer, recorded in chapter 17. In this conversation, Jesus very tenderly told his apostles why he was leaving them, and of the many mansions in his Father's house, encouraged them to continue to believe on him, although he would be taken away from them, and promised them another comforter, even the Spirit of Truth, and told what the Spirit would do for them, and also for the world. Now let's look at the explanatory notes. Jesus uttered those famous words that we have heard, and if just hearing the words bring comfort to us, let not your heart be troubled. The announcement made by Jesus that one would betray him, all would forsake him, Peter would deny him, and he would depart from them, caused great sorrow to the apostles. With the betrayal, the arrest, the mock trial, the cruel scourging, and the cross before him, Jesus here speaks not of his own sorrow, but seeks to console his apostles. Frequently in this conversation, Jesus spoke of the trouble and sorrows of the apostles. He said to them that while they were sorrowful, they would weep and lament, and those who killed them would think such persecutions was God's service. Yet their sorrow should be turned into joy, which none could take away. Believe in God. Believe also in me, Jesus said. Jesus knew on account of his death, the apostles would lose hope. The following expression showed that they did. They said, "But we hoped that it was he who should redeem Israel," Luke 24:21. This hope began to fail on the night of this lesson. Hence, the encouragement given here. Since the apostles would still believe in God when Jesus had been taken from them and killed, they should still believe also in him. They should walk by faith. This was from God and for their good, and the salvation of the race. He was in the Father, and the Father was in him, and believing in God, they should believe in him. Leaving them, he would go to the Father. And Jesus foretold these things, that when they should come to pass, the faith of the apostles might not be shaken. We read in John chapter 14, and verses 1 and 2, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. Many mansions. God's house is heaven. There is the city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 10. This is the new Jerusalem John saw coming down out of heaven, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. When this takes place, the tabernacle of God will be with men, and he will be their God, and they will be his people. The city, it's the city that needs no sun, nor moon, nor stars to give it light. The sun, moon, and stars will all pass away with the present heaven and earth. The light of this city is the glory of God the Lamb. There is no night there, because God and the Lamb are always there, and they are its light. The gates stand always open to receive the redeemed, but nothing unclean or abominable or one that loves and make a lie can enter. Rather, the redeemed of all nations will inhabit it. Let me read to you from Revelation chapter 21, beginning in verse 9 and going down through verse 27. There came one of the seven angels who had given the seven bowls that were laden with the last plagues. And he spake unto me, saying, Come thither, I will show thee the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high, and he showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like unto a stone most precious, as it were a jasper stone, clear as crystal, having a wall great and high, having 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, and which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east were 3 gates, and on the north 3 gates, and on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And a wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that spake with me had for a measure a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof, and the city lieth 4 square. And the length thereof is as great as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. And the length and the breadth and the height thereof were equal. And he measured the wall thereon 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. And the building of the wall thereof was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto pure glass. The foundation of the wall of the city were adorned with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysophase, the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each one of the several gates was one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple thereof. And the city hath no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine upon it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the lamp thereof is the Lamb. And the nations shall walk amidst the light thereof, and the kings of the earth bring their glory into it. And the gates thereof shall be in no wise shut by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything unclean, or he that maketh an abomination and a lie, but only they that are written in the Lamb's book of life. Paul, in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1 says, "For we know that if the earthly house of our tabernacle, that is, this body, be dissolved, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." The old word, the old English word mansions in this passage, which says, "In my Father's house are many mansions," the word simply means dwelling places. And Jesus said, "If it were not so, I would have told you." Jesus had told the apostles the truth, that he must suffer, die, and rise from the dead, that he must go away. Had it been otherwise, he would have told them. But his going away was for their good. "For I go to prepare a place for you," he said. The sacrifice of Jesus provided the way of salvation. He is the way, the truth, and the life, verse 6. But he also prepares the place. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. "There will be a new heavens and a new earth wherein righteousness will dwell," 2 Peter 3 and verse 13. Now under the subtitle, "Christ will come again," we read in John 14 and verse 3, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I come again and will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." I come again. The separation was not forever. "That where I am, there ye may be also." This return was not the resurrection of Jesus, but his second coming. Christians joyfully expect Christ to come from heaven. To this end, Jesus prayed for his disciples, "Father, I desire that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory as thou hast given me," John 17:24. "If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will the Father honor," John 12 and verse 26. All preachers of the gospel whom I have heard and all who have taught the word of God by pen have preached and taught the second coming of Christ. All who have preached and taught the gospel since Christ ascended from the earth have preached and taught the same. If preachers do not preach and teach that, they do not preach and teach the gospel. But preachers who preach and teach when Christ is coming, preach and teach more than the gospel, and more than that which Jesus says he and the angels know. Not only does no one know the day nor the hour when Christ will come, but his coming will be sudden. Now under the subtitle, "Only One Way of Salvation," we read in John 14, verses 4 and 5, Jesus said, "And whether I go, ye know the way." Thomas said unto him, "Lord, we know not whether thou goest. How know we the way?" And Jesus said in verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus told the apostles plainly about his departure and where he was going, and these descriptions were not so clear to Thomas, but he sought to understand them, and so Jesus gave that reply, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." You know, if we want to go where Jesus has gone, if we want to go to heaven, we have to do it the way that Jesus said. He made the way by dying and taking care of the penalty and empowered God to save us. And now if we believe and obey we can follow him.